Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of the Surf Beats podcast show. This is your host, Chris Carlo, and we're picking up again with Sonny and Jimmy of the Junk Satellites. In the beginning of this episode, we'll be joined by Scott, the bassist, so we get an introduction with him early on. But we start the episode as a continuation of our conversation from the past 2 evenings. And first, we begin with audiophile shows, basically what that's all about. Collectibles of records, the reason why we collect records for certain reasons, whether it be artwork, maybe it's just, you know, having the collection of a certain artist. So we get into records not only to enjoy the pleasure of listening to them, but we do get into because they're quite awesome and are aesthetically pleasing, and we enjoy having them in our hands and checking out the artwork, reading the liner notes. So it's pretty cool stuff. We also dabble a little bit in William S. Burroughs, who's done a couple of records along with his written novels. And yeah, get into music docs. Music documentaries is something that's very popular right now. We just look at stuff like Amazon Prime, Netflix. Netflix is a great one on the Doors right now with Johnny Depp. And there's some great stuff at Amazon Prime where you can get anything from Frank Zappa to Captain Beefheart to blues. Even Ken Burns documentaries, who does a great job on blues and jazz. So that's some stuff that's really interesting. And then another epic question that I always think about with the Surf Beats podcast is the best show you've ever been to. So that's how we end the episode with Jimmy talking about his experience in Chicago with the Orwells, and then Scott and Sonny's great trip down to San Diego to see Sonic Youth in their prime. And great conversation. So I hope you enjoy this podcast. We'll pick up with Scott entering the door, and here we go. I know, it's awesome.
Podcast.
So
nice.
Yeah.
No, I don't have that, but I don't have a seat
there.
So.
Your car.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
Should I say it? Should I say like, all right, guys? So Scott walked in the door just now. Scott's here. Scott's gonna be the other voice, multiple voices. A scout.
But he also works
too.
For us.
So everybody's here.
And the dog.
And the dog. But so, like, Tom's never done those record shows, but I know Dave has told me significantly about going to the depths of LA and doing the audiophile shows.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't know anything about.
Which is crazy. Like, people go to audiophile shows?
Yeah.
Where they get, like, it's not even, like, you talked about represses. They get a repress of Pet Sounds that was made in by whoever, like, made 100 pressings of this audiophile record. And they'll pay more than the original mono version of it for it, which is like.
I don't. But if that's what you're in, if that's what
that's
you get into,
thing.
Then that's what you get into.
That's your stick or whatever it is.
Yeah. Which is cool about records because you can do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh man,
it's always there's people get into different things for different reasons. Like I have a whole bunch of 10-inch records that were put out by Man's Ruin Records, which there's a lot of good stuff on there, and there's a lot of crap, but they're all super artsy and super weird, and the guy who put them out was Frank Kozik, who's an artist, and I got into them just because of the artwork, and I wanted to collect them.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I wasn't collecting them because I was into the bands, I was collecting those because I was more into the artwork.
That's cool.
But
I'm totally
that,
buying that picture of the artwork.
There was really cool bands that were on there that I got into.
So what's your favorite 10-inch out of that Man's Ruin stuff? Not the art, the record.
The Fuck Emos.
Okay. What's your favorite art, though?
If you've never heard of them,
right?
Dude, then
gnarly.
They're crazy. Okay. They've got really good art.
You should throw that on.
Pretty gnarly.
Yeah, do it.
Some of this stuff's worth a lot of money. They only did limited pressing. Oh, and Nebula. This one's a really good one. But anyways, so I think we're just talking about getting into the band.
I can dig it. To our rare record search.
Like this one, then. William S. Burroughs thing.
Oh, that's
like
rad.
Kurt Cobain, like he does like some word over there.
Burroughs playing guitar. An interesting cat, that's for sure. Big champion apparently.
Oh, William S. Burroughs?
Yeah.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
Anyone that can just, you know, shoot his wife and get away with this voluntary manslaughter, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, he's a whole other podcast, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have William S. Burroughs moments.
Idiots talk about William S. Burroughs.
Yeah. And we just, that's when you need to break out the whiskey.
Yeah.
And just, you know, get to the heavier stuff.
What's up, Scott?
So they did, your listeners know, but they did all these like crazy like artwork and everything.
That's cool.
Colored vinyl, and everything was limited to like only a few hundred copies, so I got into collecting these just through the artwork, not really the music.
I could dig
it. So it's weird that when you get into stuff like collecting stuff for other reasons.
It's just the same reason why people collect those Beanie Baby things in the 90s.
Not really. Maybe, I don't know.
Just it's getting Beanie after Babies. It.
Yeah. Kidnapped. That's one way to put it, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
There's beer in there if you want a beer. Oh, you brought some? Oh, cool.
So, we went over basically everybody's position in the band. I don't know if you want to say what you play in the band or if you have anything to add about the band before we move forward. And now I feel like I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to leave you out. I don't want to leave you out. I mean, if we're
and
out.
Like, they did Green Buzz and worked at.
So, I don't know if you like want to add anything. Weird, or just we just it's just get.
Nah, I just
like it. I like it. I like it. Yeah, it's awesome. All right, so do you want to get into like a? Oh, maybe. I mean, I noticed. Well, I thought there was a bunch of them there, but like a bunch of DVDs. Do you have you guys have a favorite music documentary that you want to go over first
before you want to? Good question.
Before you want to get into the lightning round.
I have two. So, I know, I'm guessing everyone's seen him. Yeah. That new Oasis documentary that came out is like insanely good.
Okay.
Yeah, Supersonic. Like, if anyone is even like halfway remotely interested in Oasis, like that documentary will like stoke you out. Yeah.
Cool.
I was a big fan, so I was like already pretty excited about it. And then, Better Than Something, that documentary about Jay Retard that came out and. I don't know, 2010 or 11. Like, that's probably, like, I never really cared about music documentaries, like, to a point where, like, I don't know. I'd never seen one that was done about, like, a really low-key kind of artist where I don't know, He just seemed like a super normal dude who, like, had a really big impact on, like, a specific scene. I don't know.
That's cool.
He was
What's the name of that one again?
Of mine when I was in high school, though. Jay Retards. I don't know. He was in a band called The Retards, and then he did Lost Sounds and Angry Angles.
Okay.
And then he did solo stuff, and that's kind of where he started gaining prominence. Yeah.
That's cool.
He's rad. Yeah, he's from, he's like South area kind of dude. Yeah, he was on Goner. He's like a big Goner Records.
Okay.
Like, anyways.
I'll check him out. So
yeah, Better Than Something, Jay Retard. Awesome.
Where do you find like documentaries are like on? You look them up online, or you buy DVDs, or you
go to Rhino Records and just cruise and see what they had going when I was a kid, and then just like reading shit on Reddit.
Something's gonna come out
because see what's coming out.
The main way I get like documentaries nowadays is through Netflix or like online platforms, Amazon, Prime.
There's so many that you can watch. Yeah, totally. Amazon's like Amazon Prime's like surprisingly good with music docs. Like they did that Iggy Pop documentary.
Yeah, that one's cool. Give me
something.
Yeah.
Jim Jarmusch did that.
Give me Danger.
Right?
Give me Danger.
Give me Danger. Sorry.
Yeah.
Did Jim Jarmusch do that?
I don't know. I just remember hearing and I just thought it was
really good. I forget.
They're talking about remember the one like little quote where they're talking about their communism style living. And they're saying
I have a good MC5 documentary you should watch.
MC5.
Whole other side of that one. Yeah.
That's cool.
Because they started like the whole White Panther movement.
Yeah.
Well, they White Panther movement.
I did Better Than Something, Jay Retard, and then Supersonic, Oasis. Oh, yeah. Yeah. They just turned me on to the Rolling Stones documentary, or sorry, Rolling Stone documentary, like the magazine that just came out on Amazon.
Oh, that one's cool.
Super good. Yeah.
Was that the same one that was like on HBO?
Yeah,
too?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good where they go through all the writers and stuff, which was like completely interesting.
That was so insane. Yeah.
Like, I had no idea that John Landau was like a, you know, I thought he was like a Bruce Springsteen. Well, obviously became a Bruce Springsteen guy, but, you know, worked for the magazine for so long.
Yeah, insane. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that Tina Turner bit was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool. DIY,
yeah.
Magazine.
Yeah.
Turning into something.
Maybe like Rolling Stone better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I mean.
I know. I'm sure. Enough to see, like, bands getting on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, now you see
what
came
out.
Totally.
It's way cool. Yeah. Makes you think, like, somebody was telling me the other day that radio used to be really cool, or it used to be like a rad place to go and get awesome music.
The radio?
The radio.
Yeah.
And now it's just kind of like, I guess, crapola. Yeah, college radio.
I mean, these guys will talk for days about like KSPC and like all the college radios, radio stations from like back in the day.
Because we didn't have the internet when we were growing up.
Yeah, that's how you just listen to college radio. That's how I discovered a lot of music.
So where was this college radio? Like,
so
it can't be like the jazz thing at Saddleback, right?
There was one in Claremont.
Yeah.
The one we listened to is KSPC.
KSPC Claremont.
But they had a whole jazz time.
Yeah.
And they had a rock and roll time. They had everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to figure out your night. It was like Tuesday at 11. You know.
Yeah.
That's when you do your gear.
You get the right DJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool.
And you hear about shows through it, like they would announce like local shows, and that's where you would go to like see the learn about your bands. It's probably still kind of the same.
Yeah, it's still operates pretty much the same. Like at least when I was in high school, which wasn't too long ago. Yeah, KSPC is still throwing down the good stuff.
That's cool. That's awesome. So, I mean, you got some cool documentaries. I'm gonna definitely check them out. You got probably got some other music or documentaries you listen to.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of it. Seems like there's so many out there.
Yeah.
That Mudhoney one was really cool because there wasn't like a typical storyline of a band. It was just basically like these guys partied, played it hard, and had fun, and that was the story.
Cool.
Like it wasn't like this dramatic thing.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what makes you like a band?
It's cool because it's different.
A good documentary?
No. When you like a band, you're like, dude, this is rad, this band's awesome, they make good music. And you see a documentary, like, God, they're assholes, they hate each other. Did all
like
this, they never got along, blah, blah. Not Mudhoney. That whole documentary, you're like, this is exactly what I want my favorite band to be like.
Okay.
Hung out, they're like, they drink beer, they're buddies, they did stuff together, they put out good music.
Go on stage and like totally kill a show if they're opening or closing.
Yeah,
had a good time.
I think my favorite part that maybe like Mudhoney so much more is that the record company would give them like $500,000 to make a record, and they'd only spend like $100,000 to make their record.
Not even $100,000.
Yeah, even less than that. And then they take the rest of the money and pocket it, and they all bought houses over the course of like 4 or 5 records.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's thrifty spending right there.
Because they were like, oh, we're only on a major because like it's trendy to be in an alternative rock band right now. Like, fuck them. Like, let's save this money.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Money and. bought houses and stuff.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, that's a good documentary that Mudhoney.
Cool. So I've heard a lot of people bringing up Mudhoney. Recent ending. I never really got into him, but like, you brought up to him a bunch of times.
They're awesome.
So like,
that was like our high school.
Yeah. Like, so is this like the same as like Nirvana era or?
Or a little earlier.
Earlier.
They put out stuff earlier, during, and later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talks all about Mudhoney, about picking up to him, because that was like the band to be like.
Were they from that Northwest
from
area?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, they were the first sub pop band to go to Europe, right?
That's in that whole documentary. They started January 1989, and by March, they were on tour with Sonic Youth in Europe.
Yep.
They already put out 7-inch, they just.
Yep, they were going for it.
Yeah. They did other bands.
Yeah, they had Green River. And they had
so Mark came out of Green River and one of the other guys.
Mother Love Bone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't know.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know how to... That's awesome. I can't even think right now.
Yeah. I can dig it.
To me, that was like grunge.
Yeah.
Totally.
When grunge got popular, it seemed like it just changed into something that I wasn't like...
Yeah, everyone was into Pearl Jam and Soundgarden stuff. Yeah, but Mudhoney was like, if you knew about if you knew about music, I'm into Mudhoney. Oh, okay,
sure. Nah, that Soundgarden or
they were good, but Mudhoney was
Pearl Jam's cool, but they're completely different from Mudhoney in my mind.
Right. Actually, half the guys from Pearl Jam, not half, but Stone Gossard and the.
In Green River, right?
Were in
combining shit.
Mother Love Bone.
Oh, okay. They were in Mother Love Bone.
And then
that's right.
With
they broke off. Yeah.
Anyways, half of them went to Mudhoney, half of them started Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's all this weird shit early in the early Seattle scene, like because those bands were. So I don't know if you listen to the Wipers.
I've heard of
Wipers. They're an old Seattle punk band. Yeah. But all those bands grew up like listening to the Wipers. And one day, and then mid-80s, that's when Green River kind of happened, and Mother Love Bone.
Yeah, Green River... Yeah,
Green River, I think, was first, right? Because Mark was the lead singer of Green River.
I don't know who was first.
Yeah.
Mother Love Bone.
Could be wrong.
One of the guys died. He overdosed.
That was in Mother Love Bone.
Yeah.
No, singer, right? Yeah.
Good singer, yeah. I wish I remembered his name.
Right.
I fucking killed it.
Yeah. So anyways, they went on to start, but then, Steve Turner, Mark Arm went on to start Mudhoney with Dan Peters and Matt Lunkin.
Matt Lunkin's like the coolest guy ever.
He's the best bass player.
If you haven't Googled Dan Peters, that guy, he played
Dan Peters played drums for Nirvana and Melvins for a little bit and did some other stuff.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Peters is always a good band to see.
Cool. All right. Well, I think.
But see, that was not. What was the first time we saw Mudhoney at the Palace? Back when it was called the Palace? I don't know what it's called now.
Up in Pomona or something?
No, in LA.
LA.
No, I didn't mean that ever. Not the Forum.
What's it called now?
Change name.
The Garrick? Or the Greek? Or
it's on Vine.
It's on Vine. It's like across from like Capitol Records. You can see Capitol Records right there. Palace and the. What's it called now?
But we can Google it.
Anyways, this was like 90.
Man.
91, maybe.
That's cool.
We saw them and the Muffs and Clawhammers.
Muffs were it, too.
Screwdriver? No, Clawhammer or... I think it was Clawhammer was the opening band.
Yeah.
And then the Muffs and then Mudhoney.
I like it. I can dig it.
But see, then, okay, so all that stuff. Then at that whole time, also, there was... Oh, yeah. There's been like the Dead Milkmen who are completely on the opposite end of the spectrum.
I love Dead Milkmen, yeah. That's awesome.
We visited in my backyard.
We saw them tons of times.
Gave him a ride at the bar.
That's a great story.
Bar and buy us a beer.
No, that's the whole
story. Gave him a ride at the bar?
Gave him a ride to the bar. We couldn't get in because we were too young.
What?
After the show.
They gave him a ride. Wait, so who was driving? How'd that shake down?
They just got in the back of the truck.
Is that out of nowhere? Like they're just...
No, we saw him at the Palace, and then we're like, "Yeah, good show!" And they're like, "Give us a ride!" We're like, "Hop in!" And they hopped in, and we took them to the lamplight or the gaslight or something like that. Lamplight, I think it was.
All right. Awesome. Yeah.
They're like, "You guys want to come in?" We're like, "We're 16." They're like, "If you can reach the bar, we'll buy you a drink." We're like, "We're 16. We gotta go."
Anyways, get out of here, man. Man. All right. So like. On that note...
Yeah, that was 91 or 92, maybe.
That's rad.
However many years that go. You weren't even born yet, right?
Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah.
See how weird that is?
Yeah, but we're in a band now, I guess.
I know, but that's
it's pretty funny, though. You're right. Music transcends. That's the lesson.
That's right.
Yeah. Good shit, fucking. We'll always find you.
That's what we'll title of this podcast, is Music Transcends. Yeah, so just... I mean, I think a great question to kind of go before we get into that, like our artist lightning round is that I ask everybody is
But it's you don't have to say like the best show, because you can't put the best show. You know, no one can say that they've had a best show. But what is a remarkable show that you've been to over the years?
I thought Beyonce's Coachella was the best show.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I've heard. I was
yeah.
Yeah, my most memorable show, and you were there.
Which one?
92 Sonic Youth Metal.
Oh yeah, Sonic. Yeah,
that
was,
that's
like,
such
a
gnarly lineup.
They played in San Diego.
Okay.
Like two after that.
Wow.
For me, I already went back to that show. It's like,
we skipped school to go to that. Got out of school. I remember my girlfriend at the time, mom, got me out of school for that. That's where we all went. Yeah, we sit in the back of the truck all the way down there. Yeah, that was a great show. That was a, like, band. All three bands are great. Like,
and would carry on the, like, time with bands.
Yeah. That you're
at
still
the time
into
you know
today.
When you see bands in here.
Yeah, that's
like,
a great.
Who knows if these bands are going to go from now. Like, Damon just came out with it, which right now.
Yeah. Or if you'd still be into them.
Yeah, or if you
like Mooney Suzuki Hives.
Sonic Youth would break up the next year and never do another record.
Totally.
Yeah.
3 hour albums.
Wow.
That's right. Like that Mooney Suzuki and Hives show. Great. Mooney Suzuki's killed it. But, and Hives are good, but now, like, I don't really care about the Hives. Like, still like Mizuki, but even Mizuki, like, their new album, be like, But, yeah, but the Pavement, Sonic Youth, Money, you're still like, I would still love all those bands.
Timeless
God,
bands.
That was a, yeah, okay, that was a good show.
It was kind of, not think of
another
dude,
good show.
So hard, yeah. I don't even know. One that's coming to mind is, I lived in Chicago for 5 years, and one of my... I mean, favorite bands definitely from, like, I mean, they, I still like them a lot, man, was this band called the Orwells. They're like a band out of Elmhurst, Illinois, like Chicago suburb, but
cool.
I saw them play in a high-rise, like, complex thing. It was super weird. It was, so there's this TV station out there called JBTV, and it's like a, it's basically like underground MTV, like pirate radio shit, and they threw a show where you had to like RSVP for it, and like they let 100 people in, and it was before the Orwells record came out, and like we all went downtown, skipped class, went down at like 6-7 o'clock, and we're waiting in line in this by the skyscraper, like just drinking beers with everybody, like waiting in line. They let us in and like walk up like all these flights of stairs. And then we heard all the songs for like the first time, like before they came out, and like the place just fucking erupted. Like just off the top of my head, like that show is insane. Like, cause it was one of my favorite bands, and I got to hear their like new record like early, and it's, I mean, it's on YouTube somewhere. Like the show, like it was gnarly, but yeah, just there. Like, I don't know, at least for like my generation, like when I think Chicago, like I will always think of that band and like that time, like 2012, 2013, like that. Yeah. So, anyways, that's the one that comes to mind, because Mario, the singer, is just gnarly. Fucking kills.
That's
me.
Cool.
Yeah,
that's a rad. Sounds like a rad night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got stoked. Yeah, just by hearing about it. Yeah.
Anyways, that's, if you don't, man, listen to fantastic. Orwell, check them out, man.
All right.
Yeah, cool.
Cool. And I'll have to get all these. If you guys want me to put links to your website, or if you want me to, you know,
or just to
segue
bands.
In with a song or something like that, just let me know, and we can just figure it out.
Yeah.
As well as any of our links you want to post to other artists or other venues or wherever you have.
And we come to a close of episode number 6 of the Surf Beats. It's been a great episode. Really love talking to Sonny, Jimmy, and Scott. I look forward to moving on with the more conversations with them, as well as other record store owners and artists. I do have some other artists on the chopping block, as it were, to interview in the future, as well as other record stores like Factory Records in Costa Mesa, California. But just to recap, it's been a great experience with this podcast show. I've learned a lot, enough not only just to communication with other people, but how to use electronic devices, especially editing. And it's something I have a lot of pleasure with. People from work have used it. People from school have enjoyed it, as well as friends and loved ones. So it's been incredibly rewarding. And I really encourage this to other people if they're looking to get into a hobby or maybe get into another career. Podcasting is something that's super simple and brings a lot of pleasure when you get accustomed to hearing your voice on the other side of the computer or speaker. So, I look forward to continuing this podcast. Thank you to Phil Hewlett, who's taught me so much about using these electronic formats. And stay tuned. Might be a little bit of a break in between the next episode, but we'll be actively using it definitely in the next month or so. So please check back, look to our social media, and and enjoy all the other episodes and the shows on the Buzz or Basic Buzz Network.